Good morning. Welcome to our service. It's great to be together and worship with you this morning. Before we begin, I just want to draw your attention to the many opportunities to get connected this week. We have lots of kids and youth programming, choir on Monday, the seniors fellowship is Wednesday at 2:30, care group on Wednesday, Bible study on Thursday, quilting, and then games night on Saturday. And of course, back to Sunday, we also always have Sunday school for the adults in the fellowship room and the kids downstairs. There's also an upcoming borscht lunch on Sunday, October the 29th, which will be benefiting our local community food programs. Tickets are on sale today after church and next Sunday before and after church if you're interested. It's great to see all of the activities going on and see the ways that we can learn more about God, serve Him, and fellowship with each other. For our call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 106, verses 1 to 5. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people, come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join in your inheritance in giving praise. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. We thank you and give you praise for all the many ways that you provide for us and work in our lives. Help us to always remember that your love endures forever. Be with us this morning as we worship you. Open our hearts and minds as we sing together and hear how you have worked in Aaron's life and the lives of the many students who attended the conference in Indonesia this summer. In your name we pray, amen. And if you want to stand, we will sing together.
This first song is an old hymn that I still remember when I was in Sunday school. And I looked for it. It's not in our hymnary. It's not in our two previous older hymnaries. But it used to be in our red, what was it called again?
Children's.
Youth hymnary. So I'm sure some of you will remember this song. It's very simple, so enjoy.
The song is We Gather Together.
Hastens and hastens His will to make.
call all children for the children's story.
Good morning, everyone. All right, welcome here. Do we have them? Oh, here come a few of our friends. Get my notes. There we go. All right, so I don't know if any of you have noticed or seen in the bulletin or heard, but Aaron is going to be sharing today. During the service, he's going to be talking a little bit about his trip to Indonesia, which I don't know about you, but that is not a... Do you remember? Evelyn is saying she remembers. That's right. He did tell us before he went on the trip, right? Yeah, we were talking about it. So now, obviously, he's back. He's back, and he's been back for a while, but we wanted to hear about what he learned about while he was away. But first, we thought maybe Aaron could show us a little, or tell us a little bit about his trip. So has anybody here been to Indonesia by a show of hands? Anyone? Disney is not in Indonesia, but a good, good question. If there was Disney Indonesia, I think we might have gone all together as family, right? Yeah, good question. Okay, so first of all, can anybody find home on here? Does anybody think that they could? Callan, do you want to come show us? Let's see. Callan's going to find home. So we're going to, a little bit of St. Catharines. He found the Great Lakes in Canada, and he's got his finger on. Okay, Callan's going to step to the side a little bit. You can stand in front of me. That's okay. And he's going to show you where home is. Can you do that? Oop.
Yeah, he had it.
He had. Okay, Aaron will show you. There you go. That's home. So, Aaron, do you want to tell us a little bit about your trip?
Sure. So, first, we had to go to the airport, which is in Toronto, right? So, that's like an hour drive. So, maybe that already seems far away. I don't know. That was a drive. So, then we got to Toronto, and then we flew from Toronto this way across the Pacific Ocean. And we got to Taiwan, which is, I don't know. It's somewhere here. Taiwan is somewhere over here. And then from Taiwan, oh wait, no, there it is, I found it. That's Taiwan. So that was 15 hours. We flew 15 hours. That's like your whole day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. I was in an airplane. And then from Taiwan, we flew another 5 hours to Indonesia, which is this big, long, like, part of islands right there. Thank you. So we flew to Indonesia, which is this country here, and we flew to Jakarta, which is that city right there. So that was another 5 hours after the first flight, which was 15 hours. So that was like 20 hours in an airplane. So it was a long time.
Okay. Yeah. So, Aaron, I'm going to take that. So if I'm looking at this, I'm going to put my hand on Indonesia. And remember, Callan showed us home. Aaron's going to point to home. What does anybody notice about where Aaron is pointing and where I'm pointing? Marcus, what is it? Is it close?
No!
He was on the opposite side of the world from here to there. Unbelievable. So Aaron, I have some questions for you. How are you feeling during all of that?
It was a little bit scary. It was the furthest I'd ever been from home. I was a little bit worried because if something went wrong, there was nobody. Everybody I knew was on the other side of the world. So it was a little bit scary. But I had to get used to it, right? I had to trust that God wanted me to be in Indonesia and that he would take care of me and protect me, and eventually it got better.
That's amazing. Aaron, what was life like in Indonesia? Like, people there, was everything the same as it is here? We were talking about things like Pizza Hut and Johnny Rocco's and stuff. Was it all like that?
They still have Pizza Hut and McDonald's and all of them. Burger King, yeah. But it is very different. They eat a lot of rice almost every day. And yeah, it's definitely different. It's very different. Yeah.
So I know, because we were on the other side of the earth thinking about you a lot, Aaron, that when it was day for us, it was night for you. And when it was day for you, it was night for us. So that was always a bit difficult to be able to talk to each other and to be able to text and things like that. So what did you do when you felt lonely or afraid? Maybe that's a question for all of our friends. What do you do when you feel lonely or afraid? What do you think Aaron might have done? Big thinking. Jane says you pray. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, that is the right answer. Yeah. Yeah, but I think I called you first, and then I prayed. But yeah, but that is correct. That is what you should do. Yeah.
Sometimes we need a reminder to pray, but that's okay. And prayer, did it help?
Oh, yeah, it does help. Yeah, and sometimes it takes time, right? God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately, but if you trust him, eventually he always does, right? So eventually it did get better, yeah.
So we don't go... At least not for a long, long time. Friends, you will not be going to Indonesia, to the other side of the earth, right? It's going to, maybe when you grow up, you might have some big travels like that. Yeah, if your family's going on a trip, Evelyn, that's a good point. You might need to pray about that, right? Like if there's a scary moment or something seems so unfamiliar, praying works all the time. In fact, today Aaron's going to be asking everybody in our congregation to do some praying for some of the friends he met while he was in Indonesia. And so I thought maybe that's something that we could do today too. So Aaron, do you have a friend you met in Indonesia who might need our prayer?
Yeah. Why don't we pray together for my friend Daniel? Daniel lives in Kazakhstan, which is kind of near Russia. And Daniel told me that right now all of the leaders who work with the students in Kazakhstan, most of them have left their jobs to go do other things. So they have almost no leaders right now who are supporting the students in Kazakhstan. So maybe we could pray for that.
All right, let's do this. I actually have a little something for you, so don't run away after the prayer, but let's pray together for Daniel and for all the students in Kazakhstan that they find leaders, right? God, thank you so much for keeping Aaron safe during his journey, for being with all of us in times when we're scared. And please help the students who are gathering together in Kazakhstan, for Daniel and for his friends, that they will find leaders soon who will help work with them there at their university. Amen. All right, while Aaron was traveling and flying around the world, he was thinking about you. And he brought you back a little snack, just a little something to try. I'm going to say, please try this on the bench with your family. It is allergy safe for anybody who needs that, so that's okay. But it's really, really super duper different because, is anybody a reader? Does someone want to read that for us? What does it say? Yes, fish head curry. Fish head curry, crazy Asian flavored popcorn. So maybe just a little taste before you commit, because it's quite something. But it is, I'm going to tell you, it is nut free. There is some dairy in there, though, if people need to know that. All right? So this is from Aaron to all of you from Taiwan, right?
Singapore.
All right. Come on up.
you know, I was a little bit sad that Oscar felt he needed to run back when I heard there was a gift. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. We'll now have our time for sharing some of our concerns, sharing some of our water across for those trying the food. And if anyone has any joys they'd like to share, if you raise your hand, we do have a microphone over with Ron Weens, and he is volunteer. Oh, you want to share? Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, you're the... Okay.
I just wanted to share that we got an announcement. Most of us know that this church was extremely instrumental in starting the Christian Benefit Shop, and which is now on Grantham Avenue. And we have, the Christian Benefit Shop has been looking for a bigger building, but MCC has decided that instead of a bigger building, just before Christmas, we're going to close for a couple of months, and the building is going to get a complete overhaul, a complete rebuild. So just before Christmas, the Christian Benefit Shop will be closing and reopening, hopefully end of March, with a brand new look and a brand new facelift facility.
All right. So get your Christmas shopping done now, just in case.
Just for information, the receiving area will stay open while the building is closed, so donations are going to continue to be accepted throughout the closure.
All right, thank you. Would anyone else like to share? Kevin has offered to run over quickly to anyone who raises their hand, or maybe to prance even. I do have an announcement to share from Bill Brown. He noted that his daughter-in-law's father was taken to the hospital this morning and is sick. So please remember Bill Brown's daughter-in-law's father. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end of our prayer, I'll invite you to pray with me. We will have the Lord's Prayer on the screen, and you're welcome to do whatever version of that you know, or pray along with us as on the screen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you not only hold the whole world in your hands, but that you hold each of us, that you hold each person, each soul as precious to you and to your heart. Lord, we think of all of the violence going on in the world, particularly in Palestine and Israel. Lord, have mercy. We pray that we would be able to see the children of Israel and Palestine as those precious to your sight, that we would continue to reject the lies of violence, the lies of redemptive violence, the lies of looking for vengeance. Lord, be with all of those people through all of this. Lord, we pray that you would turn the hearts of the leaders of those who are leading others to violence, that you would turn them to peace, that you would break their will for vengeance, and give them instead a will for mercy, for hope, for grace. Lord, work through your people here and all through the world so that we can start to see your loving movement, so we can start to see new growth, new hope, new things spring up all around us in the image of your kingdom, that it would be through our lives and by our prayers we would see here in this place, in St. Catharines, in our church, your kingdom come and your will be done in and through us. Lord, we pray for all of those in need, all of those who are sick, those who are hurting, lonely, battling addiction, all things, Lord, we know you see. Lord, have mercy. In particular, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with Bill Brown's family, with his daughter-in-law's father, and guide the doctors as they care for her. Continue, Lord, to be with Aaron's friend Daniel in Kazakhstan. Thank you, Lord, that we are a church that doesn't just exist in one place, but we are your church all together, all throughout the world. Lord, continue to be with the leadership at our MCC shop. Give them wisdom and guidance as they recreate that shop so that more people can be blessed through it. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Colossians 1, 15 to 23. In this passage, Paul writes about the supremacy of God, of Christ, sorry. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under the heavens, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Good morning. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we just want to thank you for this day that we have. Thank you for this wonderful church of people who've just been so kind and supportive with me as I've gone and then come back from this trip. And I pray that you would just, bless this time that we have this morning as I share. And, may each person here just, get something from this that's meaningful to them. And may it just glorify you. Pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I'm very excited to be sharing with you all this morning about my trip to IFES World Assembly, the global gathering of the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students that I attended this past summer in Jakarta, Indonesia. I'd like to thank you all once again for all your support. I received so many generous donations and had so many people praying for me, and this trip would not have been a reality without it, so I'm sincerely grateful. It really was such an amazing experience. And I have been really looking forward to this opportunity to share with all of you about World Assembly, not just as an excuse to wear my nice Indonesian shirt, but in the hopes that you'll be encouraged by how Jesus has touched the lives of people all around the world, and that the gospel truly has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, as we read in that passage from Colossians chapter 1. And I also hope that maybe you'll come away from this morning with somewhat of a different perspective on students, on universities, and how they fit into God's mission. So, as you heard during the children's story this morning, it was a long trip to get to Indonesia. I traveled with my friends Rosa and Cassidy, who are students from Brock and McMaster, who were also nominated to attend World Assembly as Canadian delegates. And we did spend a lot of time in planes and in airports. But thankfully, we had so many people praying for us, and everything went pretty much as well as it could have. So we safely arrived in Jakarta on July 26th. And there was definitely some initial culture shock when we arrived. Jakarta is Indonesia's capital. It's a very crowded city. The streets are always bustling with cars and lots of scooters. The sidewalks are busy with locals selling street food and just kind of sitting around. And as people who definitely did not look Indonesian, there were a lot of people staring at us. So I think it was easy to feel a little bit uncomfortable at first. But once we had spent a little more time there, we found most people were very kind, very helpful. Lots of them just wanted to take a picture with us. So it was all good. We came to Indonesia 5 days before conference activities were starting at World Assembly. So after spending our first night in Jakarta, we took a scenic train ride to Yogyakarta, which is a popular tourist city about 6.5 hours away. It was really nice to get out of the busy city of Jakarta and see some of the beautiful Indonesian countryside. Yogyakarta was not quite as crowded and fast-paced as Jakarta, and it was a really cool city to wander around in and explore. Over the next few days, we went to a zoo, we took a jeep tour of an active volcano, we visited some world-renowned ancient temples, and tried lots of unique and delicious food. It was really a privilege to get to experience Indonesian culture in this way and see so many amazing things. We did spend a lot of time on our feet, though, and when it came time to return to Jakarta for World Assembly, I was definitely ready to settle down in one place for a little while, and I was excited to see what God would have in store for me. So on July 31st, we arrived back in Jakarta by train, and we were picked up from the station by some representatives from Perkantas. Perkantas is the IFES movement that's based in Indonesia, and they were acting as the hosts for World Assembly. So while Indonesia actually has the largest Muslim population in the world, their constitution grants religious freedom to a few faith groups, which includes Christians. So that allows Perkantas to serve with students on university campuses all across Indonesia. I met a number of people from Perkantas throughout World Assembly who all seemed so excited to be a part of the conference. Being that Christians find themselves as a significant minority in Indonesia, I can imagine that meeting and interacting with so many people who share their faith at World Assembly was truly a blessing to them. Before the official start of the conference, we participated in a 2-day student gathering. This was an opportunity for students who were representing their national movements to connect before World Assembly started. We listened to guest speakers, we participated in Q&A panels, and we had a lot of free time to hang out at the pool and visit the beach. Of course, there were a lot of different languages being spoken among such a diverse group of people, but we were able to converse fairly easily as most people spoke at least some English. I was surprised at how quickly we bonded with one another, and many of the people I met during the student gathering would become good friends for the rest of the conference. World Assembly officially began on August 2nd. The atmosphere at the conference center felt more lively now that staff, board members, and others affiliated with IFES had joined us. And as I walked into the main conference hall for the opening ceremony, I was honestly taken aback to see somewhere around 900 people who had come from over 160 different countries. There was a lot to take in. The ceremony began with the performance of a traditional Indonesian dance. As the band took the stage to lead us in worship, there were 3 massive screens that displayed song lyrics in English, French, and Spanish, which are the 3 official languages of IFES. The French and Spanish speakers received headsets that provided live translation of all the guest speakers into their language. Lucky for me, most of the guest speakers spoke in English, but later in the conference, there were a few who did not, and you can see me wearing one of the headsets up on the screen. I have to say it helped me empathize with the non-English speakers because it was really quite hard to listen to the English translation in one ear while hearing a different language in the other ear. Now, our schedule at World Assembly was very packed. Our days were busy. So each morning we would open with worship and a speaker who would give a reflection on passages that were chosen from the Book of Psalms. The format of the conference was meant to take us through the variety of emotions that are expressed in the Psalms. We went from psalms of praise that speak of God's immense goodness to psalms of lament that express the feeling that God might seem to be absent. We talked about how there is space for all of these emotions within our lives, and how the psalms can act as a guide for how to pray when we are feeling so many different things. Following our morning session, we would break off into small groups. Because IFES is student-centered, we, the students, were given the task of leading our small groups in our discussion. I had a very kind and supportive small group of people from Brazil, Bosnia, Singapore, and Indonesia, and they all brought very unique perspectives from their countries and the different positions that they served in. So in the afternoons, we would meet with the other delegates from our country or region. We would participate in seminars, visit the expo to learn about various branches of IFES's ministry, and attend general committee meetings where representatives from each country would discuss the business side of IFES. On the screen, you can see our full Canadian delegation, which was one of the biggest at World Assembly. One of my New Zealander friends said something along the lines of, "You can't throw a rock without hitting a Canadian around here." We brought extras of those red InterVarsity Canada t-shirts that we're wearing in the photo, and we gave those out to people. So by the end of the conference, there were many non-Canadians proudly wearing their new Canada shirts. So I hope we represented our country well. Our days would conclude with an evening session where we would once again worship together. This was one of the most amazing parts of World Assembly for me. It was so incredible to see people who live in different places, come from different cultures, and even speak different languages join together to worship God. And there was truly an infectious feeling of excitement to praise the name of Jesus. We sang songs in all different languages, which was a lot of fun. The evening sessions also had guest speakers who discussed topical issues that affect university students today. This included a session on creation care, in which we discussed the obligation that we have as Christians to take care of God's world, and one on justice, where we talked about how Jesus calls us to recognize and respond to injustices in our society that affect the marginalized. Now, every day at World Assembly was exciting, but it could be overwhelming at times. I found it beneficial to take some time to myself each day to pray and reflect on everything that I had seen and heard. We had an excursion day halfway through the conference where I was able to take a tour of the city of Jakarta, and this was definitely a welcome break from the conference activities. I also enjoyed free time during the afternoons and nights to hang out with the new friends that I had made. One of the students from Romania celebrated her 21st birthday at World Assembly, so this was a photo from the impromptu birthday party that we had for her. And so after 10 days of learning, worshiping, celebrating, lamenting, and meeting so many amazing people, it was eventually time to say goodbye. And there is definitely a bittersweet feeling on departure day. I was excited to come home. God had shown me so many things at World Assembly, and there were a lot of thoughts bouncing around in my head that I was looking forward to sharing with our InterVarsity group at Brock and also with all of you. And of course, there were things that I missed about home, like weather that was below 30 degrees, and, you know, a burger and fries. But I was also sad to have to leave everyone that I had met at World Assembly. It was nice to make social media connections with a lot of my new friends, and I hope that we'll be able to keep in touch. So now that I've been home for a little while, allow me to share some of my big takeaways from this whole experience. One of the most meaningful parts of World Assembly for me was getting to participate in the global church. We sometimes talk about this in kind of vague terms. We know that the body of Christ is made up of people all over the world, but it is so different to see this with your own eyes at an event like World Assembly. I had many conversations with people just talking about what it's like to be a Christian in their home country, and it was really eye-opening to see and hear how diverse the global church really is. Now, perhaps one of the most eye-opening parts about this was hearing from people who came from countries where Christianity is actually illegal. There are national movements affiliated with IFES that function under code names because they technically are not allowed to exist. Staff and students serve underground in these countries to live out their calling as people following Jesus in incredibly hostile environments. These people wore special lanyards at the conference to signify that no photos could be taken of them so that it didn't get out that they were at World Assembly. And I was even told that some of them were not using their real names. I cannot imagine what the experience of being able to worship and share their faith openly with other Christians at World Assembly must have been like for them. And I think this is especially encouraging in light of the scripture passage that we read this morning from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, the author of Colossians, talks about the gospel being proclaimed to every creature under heaven in verse 23. And I think this is such tangible evidence of how God is at work to make himself known, even in the most unlikely of places. And in our nation of Canada, where we're free to practice and share our faith, perhaps we should be challenged by the examples of these underground IFES movements to think about how much more we can be proclaiming this gospel in our context. Now, we can't talk about World Assembly without talking about universities. After all, this is a photo of somewhere around 900 people who all came to this conference because they have a passion for living out the calling of Jesus at universities. So why should we as Christians care about the university? I wonder if, generally speaking, the church's perception of universities is actually somewhat negative. We might tend to see them as places where atheist professors deceive students into believing that there is no God, or where young people are drawn into a culture of partying and self-gratification and end up leaving their faith behind. And it's true that these sorts of things do happen, but we cannot allow ourselves to think that this means God isn't present in the university. I can assure you from my experience at World Assembly that he is. Vinoth Ramachandra, a Sri Lankan scholar and writer who was one of our guest speakers at World Assembly, talks about this idea in his book, God's Calling in the University. Coming back to our passage from Colossians chapter 1, Ramachandra references verses 17 and 18, and he writes the following. Positively, being a Christian in the university also means being open to the way Christ is at work in the university. The Bible witnesses to Jesus Christ as being no mere religious sage, but the one in whom all created reality holds together, verse 17, and through whom all created reality came into being and will finally be redeemed, verse 18. He thus has primacy over every area of life and thought. Wherever truth, goodness, and beauty are found, he is their ultimate source. Many universities today might try very hard to separate themselves from God or any kind of religion or faith. But if we believe in a God who truly has supremacy over all things, as Paul writes in Colossians, then this really is an impossible task. Universities are places where important conversations are being had about the way society is and the way it should be. They are places where important research is being done to help us better understand God's good world. They are places where new generations of scholars, writers, artists, and more are being taught to hone their craft. Even if professors, instructors, students do not acknowledge God, wherever we find examples of truth, goodness, and beauty in the university, God is at work. And wherever God is at work, as we see time and time again in Scripture, he invites people to partner with him. This means students have an important role to play in pointing the good that is already happening in their universities back towards their ultimate source, which is Jesus. Events like World Assembly can be a really powerful way to encourage and equip students to be the presence of Jesus in their universities. But even those outside the university can partner with God through prayer. So I'd like to give you all some homework. Maybe it will help you empathize with us students a little bit better. But this Friday, October 20th, is World Student Day. And every year, this is a day that IFES organizes internationally for people to pray for students. They collect prayer requests from students in countries all around the world, and they invite people connected with the global IFES community to pray. So I would like to invite you to join me this Friday in praying for students. In your bulletins, you'll find an announcement about World Student Day. There's a link there that you can type into your browser to find some online prayer cards. And you can also get there by going to ifesworld.org, as on the screen, and under the Get Involved tab, clicking on Pray for the University. On the next page, you just scroll down a little bit and find the box that says Pray for Students Around the World. This will bring you to a page with the prayer cards, but again, you can also get there just by following that link that's in your bulletin. So here you will find prayer cards written by students from all the different regions of IFES. Just click on any of the regions and it will bring up a PowerPoint with digital prayer cards from students living in various countries within the region. For those who do not have internet and a computer at home, there are a limited number of physical prayer cards available just at the back of the narthex, but there's only 11 of them, so the online version is preferred for those who can access it. I would invite you to find a card from a student that stands out to you and just pray for them. These are students who are in positions to transform their university campuses with the truth and love of Jesus, And I believe that's important work. So in closing, I hope that you've been encouraged by hearing about my experience at World Assembly in Indonesia. It was certainly one that I know I will never forget. And I pray that my story would inspire you to live out this gospel that has touched the lives of so many people around the world, and that you might consider coming alongside students in prayer for Jesus to be made known on university campuses across the globe. Amen.
Thanks also to the congregation for all your prayers for Aaron while he was away. It meant a lot to us as a family, too. And I think we will stand together to sing the song, "You Are My King."
Friends, receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gentle with you. And may your eyes be open to the truth, the goodness, and the beauty that comes from Jesus all around you. Go in God's peace. Amen.